to Misdun Needs More Games, where we create the latest and greatest market-ready board games straight from our brains into your households. I am your co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
And I am your other co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
What is up? How are you today?
I'm all right. Doing
nice.
Yeah, doing just fine.
Go ahead.
Oh, what is it? What is it? You say what it is.
A little bit of a dreary, rainy day here out in the New York office, and we're kind of feeling it. It's a little bit of a lo-fi type of day, if you know what I mean.
It is also rainy and dreary.
It's real drainy.
The sky is draining the water down on us.
That's
yeah,
a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's also a little dreary here in the Chicago office, so, you know, it's... We're all managing.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring up that dour mood for a new game that I hope doesn't come off as mean or ill-intentioned, but I'm calling it The Worst Games on Earth. And in it, I'm going to give you... Actually, you pick how you want this to go, because I have two ideas.
We're just jumping right into this thing. Okay, sure. All right. New game. Worst Games on Earth.
I will give you either the ratings and the reviews provided for these games, and you guess the name, or I can give you the name and the reviews but no rating, and you try to guess what, like, the ratings are for them. I think that trying to guess the names is going to be, one, more fun, and two, you might be surprised.
Okay, got it. All right, and these are all board games?
Yes, these are all board games, or, you know, games in the gaming market. And these come from the Board Game Geek website.
Okay.
Everything that I'm looking at. Okay. Someone was actually kind enough to... There are games that are rated lower than the ones that I'm about to give, but these, I believe they have at least 500 reviews, I think was the person that wrote this list up. And they weren't like, you know, joke games and stuff, because there's a lot of very obscure ones that I've never heard of that are like really low rated. But that wouldn't be as funny. So,
might be fun just to read out the concept of it, of just understanding what maybe the worst reviewed game would be.
Yeah, there is one that is the worst reviewed, and we can put that as the cherry on top of this whole little segment.
But okay, that sounds good. All right.
Starting off, yes, okay, so number four, so the highest of the four that I'm about to go through. User Telaz on Board Game Geek, by the way, this person reviewed all of these games. They give it a personal rating of 4. Their quote unquote out of 10, I believe.
Okay, got it.
So this game's rated 4. Their want to play it again rating a 4, and so their overall rating also a 4. Their plays are 5+ of the times that they have played this game.
Okay, that's just so one review. They're pretty. They didn't just do it once and then walk away.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Next review by Rubis. A classic game that you can play with anyone, friends, brothers, sisters, parents, grandparents, etc. This game is only luck, so it's boring. I prefer other modern games over this one, but if it has to be played, okay. I don't care. It all depends on the situation. They gave this game a 2.
I love the idea of... If this game has to be played, if you if someone's in your family's saying that you have to play this, then fine.
Yeah. If someone is threatening you, then fine.
I like the idea of forced board game playing.
Exactly.
Okay, so all luck. And now I'm just going to guess the title
guess?
Of it. Yeah, is it Yahtzee?
It is not Yahtzee.
Okay.
I can keep going because I have a couple more.
Okay, yeah. Give me another one and I'll guess again.
All right, this one comes from Latchedewiz. They're from Germany, so it's,
okay.
Yeah, something in there. But anyway.
Well, that's going to change my answer.
There we go. All right. Blank is a weird thing. A game that everyone loves to hate, and frankly, it's never really fun. No social engagement, no psychology or group dynamics, no mental challenge, and no interesting narrative. Influences on Acquire can be seen, which is the only nice thing I can say. There's a little bit of Blank's speculation aspect in Acquire, similar to how a little poker can be seen in Cosmic Encounter or a little rummy in Ticket to Ride. The recognition value is probably part of the success and charm, I think. I actively avoid blank because the thought of it always creates the same image in my head of a group of elderly people sitting in the lounge of a retirement home and a carer reading out numbers to direct the listener's mental focus to the present. It makes me feel sad and depressed.
Well, this is bingo then.
It's bingo. Yeah, ding, ding, ding.
This is bingo. Okay.
With a whopping,
I would say that's 100% luck. Uh-huh.
Also, apparently bingo, I think there's the year. Bingo is 1530.
That's when bingo came out?
I guess. The first bingo, maybe, obviously, ever.
I wonder what the first documented. Does it say where bingo came from? I bet you Wikipedia knows.
I'm sure somewhere. But
I bet you bingo came out in China. It feels like a very old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Old Chinese thing to do.
We'll have to look it up. All right. Next up, starting off with our best friend, Talaz, personal rating 4. My want to play it again rating, a 3. Ooh. For an overall rating of 3.5.
Worse than bingo.
Worse than bingo for Talaz. All right. Next one. Humble S says, besides being an entirely random game that essentially plays itself, it's also wildly unfair. The first player has a clear advantage, and the blanks change the value of dice rolls in ways that feels completely arbitrary.
Wait, dice rolls?
Correct.
Okay.
Besides this, there's no consistency in game length. In fact, it's not even guaranteed to end at all. Not only do the blank add loops that you can get stuck in indefinitely, but the ending is slowed down even more by the rule that says that you, quote-unquote, bounce off of the end square if you roll too high. The quality of your experience will depend upon the specific board you choose, as well as designated board will have better balanced blank and blank, but it's never a particularly good experience. It will, however, occupy a child for a while, which is probably the objective. I love this, like, long narrative of just, like, ragging on the game's, you know, technical issues and differences of why it sucks and everything, and then just, like, but it will occupy the child, which is probably what it's for. So.
Yeah, these games seem to be the ones to occupy Grandma, and then the next one here is to occupy little Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It seems like this is just a one-player game.
It is not. I can read one more, and I think you'll get it on this one.
Okay, you should read one more.
All right, here we go. I used to like this a little more and found it exciting when you go up a large blank and either anger-inducing or funny going down a blank, depending on if it happened to me or my opponent.
I know what it is, but you can keep going.
Then, after spending 15 years climbing the blank in my career and having a petty boss push me down the career blank, this is just too close to home to enjoy.
Well, this is definitely Chutes and Ladders.
It is Chutes and Ladders coming in at 2.9, just 0.1 under Bingo, and I just really loved.
Well, that seems silly. Okay, number one, I haven't played Chutes and Ladders in a long time, but I feel like that game should be better than Bingo.
Yeah, I guess Bingo has the added enjoyment of it being, both of them are completely random, but I think nothing feels worse in Chutes and Ladders, I guess, or in games like this, especially games of chance, when you just, you're ahead and it feels like you're going to be doing really well, and then you just get a string of incredible bad luck, and then your opponent wins, or
True.
Something like that.
True, yeah, I guess that is the... As far as user experience goes or the player experience, yeah, that's pretty crummy to...
And these are both, they're literally 0.1 away from each other, so...
Well, that's a huge difference when you're that low. All right, give me the next one.
Oh, this one might have actually... Okay, my apologies. This one actually shot up in the rankings to 3.2 as of the time it was... The article was written and I was originally looking at it. This game was below Chutes and Ladders, so was second to last, but actually is higher.
Okay.
Now, so just, well, some, I know it's going to really change it up.
Some fan of this game came in and he was like, I'm not going to let this stand.
Yeah, I know, I guess. We're going to have to find those big ones, but okay. Our favorite, Talaz.
Talaz.
My rating, 3. My want to play it again rating, 3. for an overall rating of 3. But, most notably, Talaz has played this 10-plus times.
Wow.
Chutes and Ladders and Bingo only got 5s.
Okay.
So, couple more plays of from Talaz, but here we go. Puckstop98 says, the variant included in the game to draw 2 cards and use 1 is the best part of the game as it makes it faster and introduces the basic strategy. But this game is pretty horrible. My kid liked it, so I played it with him.
This is War.
It is not War, but that's a really good guess because War is down there on this website.
I mean, that is also a very kind of uninteresting, unengaging game. Okay, I'm going to guess one more. Is it? Oh, it's Go Fish.
It's not Go Fish.
Okay, all right. Do you have another review?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Those are 2 good guesses. You're on the right track.
All right.
Insight HM gave this game a 1, saying, awful. The winner is decided as soon as the deck is shuffled. No decision-making or strategy. It's not even really a board game, as you don't play it. You simply watch it happen in front of you. Best use as kindling for a fire.
Wow. Yikes. Yikes.
Do not like this game.
Well, I would have assumed then that's War then, if it's decided based on how the deck is shuffled. Is it played? If I can get a hint, is this played with a standard 52-card deck?
No, it is not.
No, it's its own separate.
I got one more review for you.
Okay.
This one's going to put it over the edge. But this is... They didn't give it... They just reviewed it, but they didn't add a score. But either way, the review only says collections owned Hershey Park Edition.
What?
Hershey
Park Edition of what? Of the only thing that I can think of that has editions is Monopoly. But that ain't it. What? I actually don't know what this is.
See, I was hoping I would get it, but that's okay. This is Candyland, coming in at 3.2.
Candyland. Okay.
Stuck on the that's
cards.
Okay. The 1949 classic. But that's okay. You're 2 for 3.
That's kind of a fun idea of Candyland at Hershey Park. Anyways.
The king is replaced by a big old Hershey bar, I guess.
Yeah, or it would be just like Hershey himself, maybe. Wait, I want to look this up, actually. This sounds... Hey, not to sound lame, but this sounds rad as hell. I disagree with it. Now I know why this shot up in...
Yeah, exactly. Gotta come to Candyland's defense.
Yeah,
we must defend the kingdom.
They're coming. Actually, this Hershey Park looks really lame, to be honest. This is really dumb.
Oh, yikes.
I mean, I immediately take back everything I said. The Hershey Park edition doesn't have any fun characters. It's just full of a bunch of, like, chocolate bears. Like, they have no mascots on... Well, maybe they do. Maybe this is an old version. Hershey's Chocolate World candy. Oh,
maybe
yeah, no, they do have mascots. Okay. All right, this is... Oh, my gosh, dude. They made Hershey. He's just, like, a Hershey bar with a face. They gave him, like, a backpack. He's like a handsome dude.
Oh.
They made him sexy in this one.
Ooh.
They made the Twizzlers
a
girl.
Hot chocolate bar.
Twizzlers is sexy, too.
I actually vaguely remember the one time we went to Hershey Park, seeing those characters and being like, these are really anthropomorphized.
Yeah, no, they did a good job. But then what's also funny is that they have, like, it's not the Sour Patch, but they have some sort of, I think they're Jolly Ranchers mascots that are just the Jolly Ranchers mascots without being changed. Reese's is on a skateboard. Reese's is cool as hell as well.
That checks out.
Yeah.
That actually checks out to me. Reese's would be the cool one.
Yeah.
Out of all of the Hershey's products.
I think Reese's is, like, the highest selling candy, at least in the U.S.,
I think so. I mean, hey, Will Arnett is the spokesman, so it's got to be a cool candy.
That's true. Yeah, and that guy's awesome. I changed my opinion. The original, I don't even know what I was looking at. I think this Hersheyland here was made in, like, I don't even know. I don't even think this is actually a Candyland game. I think this is just, like, a ripoff. This is not like Hershey's Park Candyland. This is just what's called Hersheyland.
Oh, they just straight up... They don't even call it Candyland, it's just Hersheyland.
It looks like some of these board pieces, you're supposed to put Hershey Kisses on it, and then you take them off the board when you land on that space, which could be cool. I kind of like the idea. That's a very patch-potch thing to say.
Thing to do.
Yeah, you not only have to buy the board game, you also have to buy candy from us, in order to get the full experience
of course it's plays. Cut out specifically for the candy to fit in there, obviously.
It is for sure. But it looks exactly the same, except there's just Hershey. Okay, well, hey, I agree that it's not that fun of a game, but I don't think it should get as low as it did. Anyways, let's go to the net. Let's go to the last one.
Last one. This one you're going to get. Like, okay. There's no way. But anyway, okay. Starting off, the main event, Talaz, says, my rating, 3. My want to play it again rating, also 3. Okay. An overall rating of 3. But their plays is 100 plus.
Holy moly. Okay.
Yes. They've played this game a lot.
And they hate it every time.
All right. Next review, gave it a 3. Fun if you're playing against a kid, otherwise a tie every time.
Okay, so this is tic-tac-toe.
It is tic-tac-toe, coming in at 2.7.
Okay, and I get that. It's, you know, there's no way to really improve tic-tac-toe or to, like, can't really do much with it. But yeah, I
just gotta say, the review, though, fun if you're playing against a kid, otherwise a tie, like, man, that's a little mean.
It is, yes. I think tic-tac-toe is more of a game just to, like, sort of teach them, like, spatial awareness. Because, like, yeah, there's, like, no way that you should be losing against, like two adults playing against each other.
There was one down here. It was actually probably the nicest review of tic-tac-toe. Yeah, okay. They gave him a 2. But it's great for teaching young children turn-taking and some other basic game-playing skills. Otherwise, yeah, still better than time control, which I don't know what time control is, but...
Time control? Wow. Wait, can you look that up? What's time control? I want to know more about this awful game.
Let's find out time control. All right, here we go. Time control board game. Oh, boy. Wow, yeah, it got a 2.1. All right, we might have a this little mini-segment might have some legs. Oh, Talaz didn't even review it. Jeez. Wasn't even worth their time.
It's over it.
Okay, one of the reviews, one of the top reviews, gave it a 2. Yeah, time control, by the way, is at a 2.1. R. Cedar says, tried to be a real-time game with rules that really only work in a turn-based structure. On top of that, everyone reports that it is tedious at best and confusing at worst. I found the rules clear in structure, but baffling in intent. Well, it was 2003, and people hadn't figured out simultaneity
yet. I guess.
Yeah, okay, so just going simultaneously. And I applaud the designer's attempt to do something new. Too bad it didn't work. But the dark view of the consequences of time travel is thematically brilliant. I saved the rulebook intro for my sci-fi shelf, but ditched the game.
Interesting. The rulebook was better than the game itself.
Wow. The rule book is better than the game. I feel like that's pretty low.
Cowardly communal disintegration. Yeah, I'm very interested in what the hell this game is. But okay, cool. Hey, these all sound like this was a good segment. I think we should do this.
Here's your cherry on top as the first time we do this.
Okay.
And I think this is the low bar that you can set yourself on and. You can come over here and read these reviews. It does only have 84 reviews, but it is a 1.2, and I'm just going to leave it at the name because you can probably get there.
Okay.
But it's called, one word, one-upmanship, : mine's bigger. And then the subline is, yeah.
Okay.
Trade stocks in complete physical challenges for fun and profit.
Physical challenges. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know.
Okay. That's a very funny thing to, like, to pack in a board game of telling someone to literally get up and, like, walk away from the board game to do something else. Mine's bigger than yours. That's actually part of the... That sounds like a patch-potch thing as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That is the title of the game. One-upmanship. Mine's bigger.
One-upmanship. Mine's bigger.
There's a review here from... Old Goat 3769967, because, you know, 3769966 was taken. No game design from the 1970s. There is no graphic design. Misogyny is a sub theme. The stock market mechanic is unstructured, chaotic in play, and is really just random gambling.
Misogyny is a sub theme. I love that as a sentence. When describing basically anything, that's a very funny way to put it.
This game This game is not well reviewed.
Doesn't sound good. Well, you know, I'm sure, you know, dear listeners, you'll never hear a Patch Botch game in the worst games ever made. Yeah. So, at the very least, you know, the kind of stuff that we're putting out is a bit of a higher quality.
Yeah, we're really trying to, you know, if anything, the only reason why we'd ever be rated low is because perhaps there might be some people out there that just don't quite get it.
Yeah.
Our high cerebral, you know, really mind-melding games that really push the limits, and some people aren't comfortable with that, and that's totally fine. Might not be for them. We know that you're brilliant, though, clearly, because you're listening to this podcast.
Mm-hmm. If somebody doesn't like any of our games, it's their fault, you know? That's mm-hmm. where we all stand. That's actually, you know, one of our core principal values at this company, is that we, if you don't like our games, it's on you.
Yep, that makes sense to me.
Yep.
All right, with all that, how about we whip up a game?
Sick. I love the idea of that.
What, like whipping it up specifically, or just the fact that we're going to do our job?
Oh, no, I understand the metaphor there. We're not whipping up. You know, I love the idea of us creating a game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know we're not literally whipping something up. Nick, come on. That's crazy.
Well, you know, I just wanted to make sure that you didn't have, you know, a bowl and you're whipping whisk and, you know, a bunch of dice.
I didn't take my dumb pills.
All right.
Okay. Let's whip this up. So... Oh, and something I want to say, dear listeners, that if you've made it this far, I want to say that we take suggestions, you know?
We do, yeah. We should probably say that more.
Yeah. Go ahead. We take suggestions, and you are allowed to tweet at us or X at us. You can communicate with us however that you want to. And give us an idea for a board game. You don't need to develop it at all. That's our job. Just give us some random words and tell us... Tell us what to make, and we'll make it. Okay. Yeah.
You've heard how these episodes go, so you know we're ready to take on any challenge.
For sure. Absolutely. Anyways, let's we'll make a game this time since we've got no suggestions.
With all that said, actually, so just thinking of random word generation and stuff like that, I don't know why, but I was in kind of prepping myself for this episode. I was just thinking of. Much like how you brought last time that we needed to do a tactile game, which I loved.
Yep.
Something along those lines. I don't know what this would be defined as much as it's like a skill and precision-based game, but we don't have anything in the realm of operation, you know? We don't have anything like that, and I feel like it might be time to... I want to make a game... And I want part of the pieces to be tweezers, okay?
Okay.
Tweezers have to be in the box.
You want it? It's not
one of the things.
It doesn't have to be played like Operation as long as there's tweezers there.
Yeah, but and obviously the tweezers need to be used in something.
Like, okay, for sure.
Maybe this is a game where you're trying to build something, but all the pieces are teeny tiny. And so, again, high levels of precision. This game is extremely dexterous.
Okay, got it. High levels of precision. Well, unfortunately, the first thing I think about with tweezers is operating, but what else are... I mean...
So, chefs use tweezers all the time.
Do they? Wait, what does a chef use a tweezer for?
Are you kidding me, DJ?
I am not kidding you, so please tell me.
Like, high-level chefs, when they put on, like, the finishing touches, the microgreens and everything on their dishes, yeah, they get the tweezers out and they make it look... picture perfect and present it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So chefs, we got chefs. I can't believe I'm forgetting the name because I feel like I just had it, but someone who it's not an esthetician, is that a word that I'm thinking of? It's someone who does do like eyebrows and, you know, waxes and stuff like that, like all of the, like, you know, more, or I should say, like the like very intricate cosmetology type stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, tweezers. I mean, yeah, tweezers. They do go on the face.
Right. But I'm just saying, like for a job, it's the person that does all that.
Oh, I actually. It could be an esthetician. It could be a magician. It could be a lot of things. But you know what?
Magicians might also use tweezers.
They pull a tiny rabbit out of a tiny hat.
There we go. All right, we're on to something.
That could be a thing. The tiniest wizards or the tiniest magicians performing the tiniest tricks, and instead of pulling, like, beer bottles out of a man's stomach,
like an operation. You're pulling out tiny little magic tricks with your little tweezers.
I do like that. Maybe. I don't know how else. No, don't get me wrong. I do like it. I don't know. Personally, I'm blanking on how I would board gamify it, but now I would really love just to see a tiny magician do some magic tricks.
Yeah. Oh, I do too. Yeah. Well, okay, we can keep going down the line of jobs that use tweezers too, if that one doesn't
last
stick
profession,
out. Yeah.
Last profession, nurse, or, you know, something like that.
Obviously, because of operation.
Well, but I'm not saying, like, you know, you're not, like, picking something out of someone. You're more so, like, well, okay, I guess it is picking something out of someone, but more of the, on the dermal level, their skin, you know what I mean? You got the splinter, you got some pus and a zit or something, and you need to tweeze it out. You have a tick, and ew, gross, but thankfully, tweezers will help you out.
Well, honestly, no, you're not supposed to pull a tick out with tweezers, because then their heads could get stuck.
To heat the end of the tweezer and press it to the bug so it comes out.
Well, I had heard, well, you could do that. I guess that's one way, but yeah, you're not supposed to pull it out. We're not advocating you do that, dear listeners. The other way I've heard that you could do it is that you could take, like Vaseline or something like that, and if you cover it, then it can't breathe, and then it'll crawl out as well.
Oh, okay.
I have not tested out
tick removal for you all.
That is something that is not, I do not condone as well. You might want to try it. I just haven't tested it, but what I do know is you're not supposed to yank them out, so... The very least.
We've said it before. We're not here giving medical advice, okay?
Yeah.
Don't come to us for that. We're just saying things that we've heard.
We're not...
That's it.
We're not the surgeons. We're not the operators, so... So, anyways, we got some options here of... I don't even remember the first one. What was the first one?
Chef.
I mean, chef, you could do something with a chef. Like,
I'm really feeling either esthetician or tiny magician.
Esthetician versus tiny magician.
Well, maybe we could put them both in the game.
Why not? Why not?
Maybe the theme of the game is you're doing magic and, like, giving someone a makeover or something like that. and you're not just pulling, you know, unibrow or the eyebrow hairs or whatever, you're pulling a literal tiny hair, a rabbit or something like that. Yeah,
that's a pretty cool idea. That's very, very punny. When you said that we can combine this, I had the idea of it was all of these businesses put together as one, when it was a magician and an esthetician and a chef, and it's just called One Pair of Tweezers, and the board game is that you have all of these businesses are operating out of one store, and you have each of them have to share one pair of tweezers that they have to do run their entire business. So you have to, like, one player would, you would be, I mean, cooperative in the sense that, like, you have to share the tweezers, or maybe you do, when one person's got the tweezers, the other two players are trying to do something on the side to win them back. And so then it's kind of like you play a separate board game, and then when one person with the tweezers, they're doing their job, and they're kind of like fixing up, they're putting parsley on top of a burger because they're the chef. But then one player does something on the separate side of the sideboard game, and then they win, and then it's like, okay, time up, hand me the tweezers, and then they have to start doing their tiny little magic show while the other two players are still doing some sort of side game to try to win the tweezers over.
I like that, but okay. What about this? I feel like it'll streamline it and make it high intensity, competitive.
Okay.
I think one way that you can play this is essentially like a time trial, and you draw cards, and it's just kind of like, you know, however long you can go. So it would be me and you would have the tweezers. We would have the various, you know, little pieces and stuff in front of us to have, I guess, everything in front of us. Mm. And it would be like, you would pull a card and it would be like, you know, yeah, construct a tiny burger with, you know, just the right amount of creme fraiche on top or something like that. And so, you know, you put the little burger together, you squeeze out the little, you know, topping on it and all that stuff. And then you pass me the tweezers and then I draw my card and it's like, okay, yeah, pluck all of the, you know, hairs out of the hats, you know, the magician or whatever, and then I have to do my thing, and we try to go back and forth and see how many of those we can complete in a certain amount of time. Other variant of play, we're a team of two, other group a team of two. There are two tweezers, and you just go down the line, and everyone has, again, draw a card. It's a random assignment, and you have to do the thing, and whichever team finishes first wins a point or whatever, and then you just keep going until, I don't know, one team has 10 points. 10 points to win.
Yeah, I mean, all of those could be things.
I'm just trying to think of a way for it to be straightforward of, like, the players aren't doing something to try and take the tweezers from someone.
Right.
They're waiting for your teammate to finish their activity with the tweezers and then pass it off so that the next person can start.
So it's like a relay. It's like a relay race.
Correct. It's like a relay race.
Question about the gosh, what was I gonna say? So the other variant of it, the one that you said before the relay race, is that a cooperative one then, or?
Yeah, that's just, I would just include that in it so that you could play it. I mean, I guess you could do one-on-one and do, like, draw a couple different cards and see if you could do that faster. But I was just thinking of a way that you could play it with just two people or, heck, even by yourself. Mm-hmm. And just see how many of these things you could do against a time trial, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so imagining this board game now, then, there's going to be a ton of different stations, from what I imagine, where there is the food station where you assemble the burgers and stuff like that with mm-hmm. your tweezers, but they're tiny, they're itty bitty size, they're smaller than sliders, they're sliders. And then there's another station where there's another station where there's a bunch of rabbits in a hat or other random magician things. And basically, mm-hmm. you have all of, and if we're just going by stations, then we can even expand this to like multiple jobs. Part of the game could be is that you don't even know what pieces you need to set up before the game actually starts, and so when it starts itself, part of it is to get those things out of the box and then perform the task. I mean, that could be a way to do it.
Yeah, I think I like that. I like the idea that, again, this is a game of physical prowess, not just, you know,
just like mine's bigger than yours, just like
beloved game one-upmanship. Mine's bigger.
Yeah, mine's bigger. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, to push ourselves away from that game, this game will be very inclusive. And like you said too, I'm already imagining. Yeah.
No underlying themes of misogyny.
Yeah. Right. But tiny versions of a lot of different things. So maybe even like. Just like simple jobs, like, oh, here we go. Here's some team play, like you're saying, like setting things up. What if there's even like a tiny little conveyor belt and someone has to crank like the tiny little wheel so that tiny little pieces start coming down and someone has to grab the tiny little pieces and assemble something.
An
assembly line.
This is good. Nope, that's really good.
Yeah.
I love that. Because then you can even, it could be like a huge track, like a really big track, this is great. Okay, so, all right.
Yeah.
Because, okay, what you can do then is if you've got this huge track, you do have a station where you have to perform all of your tasks, and you can either wait for that thing to come around on the track, or you can physically walk over to it and pick it up, but you have to pick it up with your tweezers and then walk back to kind of like a little egg race thing. And if you drop it, you have to pick it up with your tweezers off the ground. No matter if it goes under a couch or something, like, you have to use your tweezers.
We will be incredibly distinct. Like, the game, again, like I said, like, the little hand crank thing, that someone can pinch with their fingers mm-hmm. and, you know, crank or whatever. But they'll be clearly labeled. Everything else in this game must be used only with tweezers.
It would be only great tweezers. In this day and age if we had the technology to, much like Operation, if you touched it with your skin, it shocks you, no matter what it is.
So it's reverse
operation. It's reverse operation, yeah. You cannot touch it with your skin.
You know what it is? If you want, you can get the premium edition, and people, you have to, I'm almost imagining like a laser tag size suit, but hook you up with electrodes.
Yes.
And someone's sitting there on the side, yeah. And if someone touches something, you get to buzz uh-huh. someone.
And it's the other team.
Give them a little shock.
The other team,
yeah, exactly.
is in control of your buzzer. So if they could just buzz you just because they're on the other team. But, you know, it's to keep them honest, you know, ideally. If there's a false buzz, then they are, I don't know.
You automatically lose,
or they're also set up to their own buzzer, and then you buzz them for for giving you a false buzz.
But then, all right, then this game is going to be bought, and people are just going to be shocked.
Yeah, no, I know. Not a good setup.
The video game.
Yeah,
the board game.
We need some sort of like third party that's not part of the whole, you know, the whole game itself.
No, this is how you do it. And again, the eggheads down in R&D, they can development, they can figure that out.
Okay.
You just make it so that you push, the button doesn't correspond to the player. The button corresponds to the piece. So if the piece vibrates and nobody's touching it, whatever.
Yep. So I imagine the person in charge of it has a huge panel. Like this
massive panel.
Yeah. It's just like a concert sound system that he's just got all of these things.
They're basically, yeah, like a DJ with all the sliders levers in front of them.
Or even easier, they're just always buzzing. They're just, no matter what, they're just always buzzing.
Just a tiny little uncomfortable buzz.
Yeah, just a little uncomfortable buzz that shakes your hand a little bit when you pick it up, and it just feels nasty.
There we go. Yeah, when you start the game, the little pieces just emit a small, unpleasant buzz. So
that's easy.
You really don't want to touch them.
Easy.
Yeah, easy.
Okay. Well, we fixed that
up. When they come into contact with metal, they stop buzzing.
Yeah.
The tweezers.
Yep. It's like and that's why you have to use special branded Patch Potch tweezers, because they'll have that same sort of like sync to them where you won't get shocked when you're holding it. So
this game I imagine takes hours to clean up.
Yeah. I mean, depending on how many more fun things can you think about to do. I like the idea of pulling a rabbit out of a tiny hat, assembling it in slider. We can do there could be a fun little tweezer thing where you can like assemble like kind of like a Lego car where you grab tires.
Yeah, I like that.
And then you have to fasten them onto it.
You want to know the ultimate one?
What's the ultimate one?
Like the origami. You have to make it look clean with just tweezers.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that. Yeah, that's definitely the ultimate one. But yeah,
either that or like assembling a microchip or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's kind of the Legos, you know, once they're small enough.
Yeah, you just kind of click it in, I assume. That's all computers are.
Yeah, exactly. They're just basically metal Legos.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure there's 100 other different things that are fun to do with a tweezer. But yeah, I love this idea of things going around on a track. Maybe even this track has, like, maybe it is even somewhat like a roller coaster where there's ups and downs just to make it that much harder to grab something going up. Like, if
you have to really be paying attention and, you know, going with the curves of the track and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, this is good. I like this. And then, the hamburger would be hard because you have to grab each individual piece as it's going by.
Well, plus, I think another part of the hamburger that would be just an added level of difficulty or making it fun or whatever. Like, you flip a card and it says, like, hamburger, but, like, one of them says, like, with cheese, lettuce, tomatoes. Another one says, like, with bacon.
Oh, yeah, custom orders.
Yeah, mayonnaise or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you gotta specifically find the pieces. Yeah.
You could also do, like, a fry box where there wouldn't be any customization with that, but there would be a bunch of fries on this track, and you have to fill at least, like, 10.
Oh, no. Poof. That's just, you're just basically picking up like a thread trying to put in a box.
Yeah, for sure. We could, nice. This is jumping ahead, DLC, slightly bigger pieces, but you use chopsticks.
Oh, okay. I like that. I mean, obviously way more dexterous, but yeah.
They would have to be bigger than the tweezer one, but you know.
For sure.
Yeah. But you could, same track.
We'd have to update our buzzing technology to work with wood or whatever the chopsticks would be made.
Oh, true. Yeah. Well, they'll figure that out. They always do.
There we go.
Well, cool. This is a good game, as always.
This one is way better than One-Upmanship.
Oh, yeah. I would be surprised if it even came close to being that low.
There we go. I guess let's name it. Now, you said one tweezer or something like that earlier. And I like that. I was thinking something along the lines. I mean, again, this game is high octane, you know, lots of moving pieces, quite literally, and all that. I was thinking, like, you know, something zippy, like tweeze it up or I don't know, something like that.
Well, okay, you said zippy, and there's tweezers. We can call it, like, tweeze zip. Which is
tweeze zip.
Yeah, something like that, like combining two.
What if? All right. Gonna jump back to even pre-episode. You said you were having some Cheez-Its. What if it's just Tweezits?
Tweezits. Yeah. I mean, Tweezits is good.
Here's the thing.
Maybe.
Here's the thing.
Go ahead.
And this is just going from our last episode. Our last one, we just called it Destructioneers, which is a fine name. Great name for Destructioneers. I don't want this just to be a one. I know we're so good at naming things in just one word, but I think we should add a little bit more flair to this one, just so that Miss Dunn doesn't get the idea that we're going soft on our naming, you know?
Okay. Then how about we talk about like theming? Because just or at least like to kind of think about that, I imagine everything is really small, a la Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
So like this is basically a world where it's like, Honey, I shrunk everything. you're still trying to get everything done with these tweezers.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, maybe it's like something to do, or at least like, again, like the name, the theming, and everything like that. Just the packaging and the box, all that has to be like, or you're like, the players are mad scientists or something.
I like
or,
this.
Yeah, they're kind of Rick Moranis-esque wacky scientists.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't know, you could call it like wacky tweezer, Dr. Tweezer Pants. I don't know. Something like
that. Dr. Tweezer Pants. Well, okay, when you name something like that, are we going for the child audience? Are we going for...
I think this is a family game.
This is a family game? Okay,
all
right.
Yeah. I want all age groups to enjoy this game.
Yeah, just like grandma. Grandma, stop playing bingo. We're playing...
Yeah, leave bingo behind. That game's a three.
Grandma, don't you know that game sucks ass? Come on.
Yeah. Who cares about bingo? More like bing no.
Okay, let's... Yeah, I like this idea. Family game, something along the lines, Dr. Tweezer Pants. I wish I knew something of that's like close... Because I love the idea of like, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids world. But we can't do that exactly.
Well, I mean, like, how else would all this stuff get shrunk, right?
It's true. How that used to be a normal slider before, and now it's tinier. And it's all over this track.
Used to be a normal small burger. Now it's a really small burger.
Used to be a normal sized small burger.
Yeah. Okay. So what about like tiny tweez, like lots of alliteration. Some tiny tweez team tarot cards. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you're on a good. I like tiny. We could go for with the other one too. Like tiny tweez it. Maybe the doctor's name is Dr. Tweez it and.
Okay.
Sorry, one more element to this. The doctor's also tiny, and he's also on the track, and that's how the last one. That's how you know that you won the game, is that you get the card, or you get something that you pick up. Once you do four tasks, then you pick up Dr. Tweez it.
Yeah. And but I actually think that in order to make like the Dr. Tweez it one difficult, there's like a little like what would essentially be in this world the like re-enlarging machine or whatever, but it's also small.
Yeah, so you have to assemble that thing
with Dr. Tweezer or Dr. Tweez it inside of it. So it's like, you know, you're kind of building this like case around him.
I love that.
In order so that he can get big again.
Okay, I love that. And he also needs a burger when he gets big again.
Yeah, he needs a slider when he gets big.
Sorry.
He doesn't need a burger, please.
Okay, so then it should be like something like Tiny Tweezits. Track is another word that starts with a T.
Tweez done it again. Dr. Tweezits. Dr. Tweezits tiny, tiny. Tumultuous or like something like to give along the lines of like catastrophe or like disaster or an accident.
I love Tweez done it again.
Tweez done it again.
Tiny Tweez it's terrible Tuesday.
That is perfect. Tweez done it again, colon, Tiny Tweezits, terrible Tuesday.
Tiny Tweezits, that's what we'll go with.
Tiny Tweezits.
This is a family game that shocks you, dear listeners. So just you know,
not just by presentation, but literally it comes with a 12 volt battery.
Yeah,
you've got to charge the pieces.
Yeah, so be ready to do that with your friends and family. So cool. This is we're all good on the name.
Yeah, Tweez done it again. Tiny Tweezits, terrible Tuesday.
Okay.
That's great.
Now...
That's really patch-potch. That's just...
that is a real patch-potch game. Mm-hmm.
All right. Who goes first.
Well, how do we decide what is first then? Because much like Destructioneers, things are happening simultaneously. So,
yeah.
Well, there can be things of like a slight advantage of like, I don't know, maybe you can mulligan your cards that you want or something.
I think the version of who goes first though or whatever is the quote unquote batting order of your teams. That's who's going first, right? So I feel like we have to come up with a rule that like no matter how the teams are divided up, no matter how you want to go, and if you've got a 4-on-4, you can have it be, you know, oh, I'll be 2, I'll be 3, I'll be 4, but your number one position is decided per this rule in the game.
I kind of like that. I kind of like it for all of the positions, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
It's always randomized. So we should come up with a way that of who goes first to, like, always be maybe, like, a different outcome. It shouldn't be done by, like, age or anything like that. Even though this is a family game, we're gonna make this super competitive.
No matter what rule we come up with, I feel like we should add in, especially because Terrible Tuesday is in the name. No matter what it is, on Tuesdays specifically, if you play this game on a Tuesday, you flip the order.
Ooh, okay, yeah, the Tuesday night reversal or special.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Tuesday twist 'em ups.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Okay, so. Who goes first? This can be... You know what we could do? It could be related to all the different sort of occupations and tasks and stuff. Someone pulls up a card, and if it's like a burger one, then it's like, who last had a burger? And then out of that order, then you figure out from there. You pull up another card. It's the car one. It's like, who last did something with the car? And so then it's like more geared towards like the adult in that, like, one. So it is random every single time that you set the order, but there's like also, like we said, there's going to be like 100 different occupations all on this thing. Who, for the magician one, it could be like, I don't know, like who last pet an animal? Maybe the kid did it, you know? Something of that nature. So that's how we can randomize every single one, is that you let the cards decide, and then based on what's revealed is that that's how you pick who goes first.
I like the card aspect of it, of who goes first, and I like the aspect that it's all random stuff. I just feel like, I don't know, I draw the burger card. I don't think it should be who last had a burger. I think it should be, like, maybe this game comes with a bajillion pieces, I don't know, or at least enough so that you can have even, like, a 5-on-5.
You said 100 occupations, a bajillion pieces, yeah, easy.
There we go. But the burger card is flipped, and then everyone has to get into the box, find enough to make the burger that is, like, you know, on the thing, like, per the order. And I guess this is, heck, maybe this game actually does come with a bunch of different tweezers, too. But then it's just, the game order is decided by who can do the thing the fastest. So, like, we flip burger. We all rush over to the box, grab your tweezer, grab all the things that you need to do, and then assemble your burger. And then, you know, if I'm first, I don't know, hit the table, slam, done. And then, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, whoever is saying done then, and then that will decide the order for whatever team, or for the teams. Because it's like, if I was the fastest, I'd be on one team, and then if someone else was the second fastest, they'd be on another team. And then, you know, maybe back and forth, snake draft, however you want to do it.
Well, you know, if we're just deciding who plays who goes first just by them playing the game... You know.
Fair enough. Okay. What about this? What if instead of whoever last had a burger, something like whoever can find a burger, and you got to go get, I don't know, either like, and maybe that's like even an abstract concept. You have to like go get something in between two of something and just say, boom, this is my stuffed animal burger with, I don't know, something on the inside, and you have to just do the thing that, like, makes it that. And again, like, magic. You could literally just go grab a stack of cards and then shoot them all out and be like, was this your card? Boom. Magic. Done.
I mean, yeah, that would... Sure, we could do that. That's... I don't... That really leaves it up to interpretation.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
No, it's fine. No, look, I didn't mean to. Look, I didn't mean to make it sound like I wasn't excited about it. I'm just imagining the wild possibilities that this rule can come, and it kind of fits with Dr. Tweezit's wacky day. You know, he's having a really wacky day. You got to get in that wacky mindset to start playing this game. Grandma, stop playing bingo. Get off bingo. We're playing.
Yeah.
Tweez done it again.
Didn't you hear me say anyways. No? You dunce. No.
Okay.
I love it. Let's take one more swing at it. Maybe something brilliant will happen, and we'll just happen upon this amazing tweezer-based kind of who goes first. Like, okay, what about this? What about other games or things that do with tea? Like, who can twist themselves up the most and try to just... you know, cross their legs, cross their arms, and twist it up. So whoever's really flexible is probably going to go first. I don't know.
God. We could do it.
I'm really struggling over here.
We could do it this way. Is that we have this bin of a million objects. It could literally just be who finds Dr. Tweezer or Dr. Tweezit in the bin first. And then you reset it. And then he's just in this. That. You shake up the whole thing. You got to find Dr. Tweezit again. And then you just keep going that way. Everyone sticks their hands in this big thing and tries to, or maybe even uses tweezers. I don't know. You know, they just got to find Dr. Tweezit in this huge jumble of things.
Yes, I love that. It's like, it's a little bit I Spy, a little bit, you know, tweezer-based game that we've come up with.
Okay, cool.
Okay, that one's good.
All right, well then that's it then. Tweez done it again. Dr. Tweezit's Terrible Tuesday.
Wait, did we put the doctor in there? I forget. Tweez done it again.
Tweez it's Terrible Tuesday. I think it makes more sense if... I don't know if we actually... I can't remember if we did or if we didn't, but I feel like we should have the doctor in there.
Okay. We'll in post, we'll listen back and see what we said first, but if not, screw it. We'll go with Tweez done it again. Dr. Tweez it's Terrible Tuesday.
It was Tiny Tweez it's Terrible Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. That's better. Okay. There we go. Well, thank you so much for coming along with us on this audio journey of creating a board game and having a great Tuesday.
And succeeding.
Yes,
quite
succeeding.
Frankly.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And nailing it like every other time. If you would like to get in contact with us, we are at PatchPotchRND on Twitter. And for any professional inquiries, we are PatchPotchLLC@gmail.com. Spelling it out. PATCHPOTCH. Anything else?
Please send us your ideas. Tell us you're thinking.
Send in ideas. Review us, too. We don't say that enough. But please review us. It helps us get recognized and more people listening. Mm-hmm. And we can spread the good word. And you can be on the ground floor of this thing saying, hey... I was there for Tweez Done It Again, Tiny Tweez It's Terrible Tuesday, and look where we are now.
That's right.
You'll be saying that 10 years from now. Guaranteed.
And we'll call you out. We'll say you're at your X account or your Twitter or whatever the heck it's called. We'll say...
I'm not saying X. That's just so
Nick's
dumb.
Not saying X. We...
You can if you want. Sorry.
We'll call it out. We'll say, hey, this idea was submitted to us by Twitter X user, this person. So.
Yeah, there we go.
So get ready for that shout out, because literally first one that comes in, it's going to happen. Unless it's a problematic idea. I shouldn't say that. Someone's going to submit something that's so not great.
Well, if you're here listening to this podcast, you're I'm hoping that you're not problematic.
I hope so,
too. Statistically, I don't think you are, because... you're here and you're listening with us. You're listening to us.
If you made it to episode 26 and you're harboring some not great ideas, take a look at yourself. Anyways,
you know what? Just keep listening silently.
Okay. Anyways, that's enough about that.
Yes.
Do you have a sign off? Do you want me to sign off?
I can't think of one right now, but if you give me like 2 seconds, I will. Unless you got one locked and ready to go.
I never have one. That's my problem. That's my toxic trait. That's my tiny toxic trait, is I never have a sign-off.
That's pretty good. But I was just going to do something wacky and say, whoa! Squeeze done it again.
All right, see ya.
All right, bye, everyone.